Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah, chapter 29, that which was our scripture reading. And verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And our subject this evening is God's gracious thoughts to us. Well, we come this evening just for a very brief time. I'll try not to speak for very long this evening. We have a time of fellowship, of course, afterwards. But we come to this portion of scripture that we find in the book of Jeremiah, the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, which may not seem like an obvious book to turn to for a Thanksgiving service. But we're not going to be focusing so much on who Jeremiah was, and we're not going to be focusing so much on his message concerning the captivity in Babylon, although I will just very briefly mention it at some point. Rather, we're just going to spend a few moments focusing on verse 11, because in the midst of this chapter, in the midst of this book, we have a wonderful statement from the Lord himself, from God himself addressed to his people. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I trust that these tremendous words will bless us richly and comfort us richly in the brief time that we have together this evening. These words, well, let us just begin by thinking about what they teach us about the Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Well, very simply, I'm going to be very simple in this message. We have a lot of young people here this evening, so I'm not going to go into a great depth of doctrine. But what do these words teach us about the Lord? Well, first of all, it teaches us that God is a person, or God is a being, I should say, perhaps more appropriately. Now, this may sound very obvious. Why am I telling you this? But, of course, we live in a day, in an age, when people have very strange ideas of who God is or what God is. Many, of course, do not even believe that there is a God. But others will say that if there is a God, well, then it's more of a force, more of a life force, or more of an anonymous power that holds the universe together. And people have sometimes, you meet people like this, they have this idea of God. If there is a God, he's a force, a power of some kind. But that is not the God of the Bible, of course, you know this. The Bible teaches us clearly that God is a being. God has a character. God has attributes. God has a mind. God has thoughts. This is what we read in this verse. So he is a being. And of course, he is a being that is far greater than we are. In fact, he is greater than anything else. There is nothing that can be compared to God. Who is like unto thee? We read in the Bible. So many people say it, or words like it. Who is like unto thee? There is none like unto God. He is far and above anything we could even ask or think. God, for example, I won't go through all the attributes, but God, of course, we often say this, is from everlasting to everlasting, which means that he has no beginning and he has no end. He's not like us. We have a beginning, we have an end, but he is everlasting. He always has been and he always will be. So this is the nature of God, but he is a being. And well, of course, we have the mystery of the Trinity. God is triune. We know the Trinity, I trust, one God. We don't believe in three gods. Many people try to assert that we do. We don't believe in three gods, one God, and yet within the one Godhead, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, and yet each person is equally God, and the three are one, the mysterious three who are one. They are one, the three in one. And well, it is a mysterious thing. People say they don't understand it. I don't understand it either completely. But this is the nature of the Lord. We're talking about God, and God is far greater than we are. So it's no surprise that it's mysterious. But when we think about the Trinity, well, what the Trinity, or one of the things the Trinity ought to teach us about God, is that he is relational. He is relational. You think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Within the Godhead, in the Godhead, there is relationship. That's what one of the things we are supposed to take from the Trinity, rather than getting baffled by it. God is a relational God. And this is very applicable to us, of course. Because as I always say, and I said it on the Lord's Day, we can each one enter into a relationship with God. He's a relational God. He's not simply an anonymous power or a force. You can't have a relationship with an anonymous force. God is a being. God is a relational being. You can enter into a relationship with God. We can know him and we can love him. And this is the essence of true Christianity. You enter into a relationship with God. He is the God that you can know. And so I say this again because some people, and even I was like this before I was saved, I had this idea that if there is a God, well, maybe there is, but you can't possibly know him. Maybe there is a God out there, but you can't possibly know who he is and what he's like. But that was wrong. I was wrong. There is a God and you can know him. You can know who he is and you can know what he is like. And you can have that wonderful relationship with him. And in fact, this is why God created man. God created man so that man could know him and know his love and his blessing. So this is the teaching of Scripture. I just start off with it. This is the God of the Bible. He is a being. And he has a mind, and he has thoughts toward us. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Well, this is a wonderful thing, isn't it? That the Lord thinks about us. This is what these words are saying. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. It is so marvelous. In Psalm 40, David was so taken with this teaching. He wrote, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. God's thoughts upon us. He thinks about us, about every single one of us. There is no cause for any of us to ever think that there is nobody thinking about you or that nobody cares for you, because there is always somebody thinking about you, and there is always somebody caring for you. That's the Almighty God. What a person to have, always constantly thinking about you. What a comfort. We can never say, oh, nobody cares, nobody's thinking about me. God is. His thoughts, he is a person, he is a being, he is thinking about you. He has thoughts towards you. And this is wonderful, the Almighty God, all the great people of the earth, of the world, the kings, the princes, the prime ministers, they wouldn't really think about you at all. They wouldn't really care about you at all. But look at this, God's thoughts toward us. And this is a wonderful thing. So you don't have to worry about whether God is thinking about you. He is. The question rather that you ought to ask yourself is, are you thinking of him? Are you thinking of the Lord? Of course, as I've already mentioned, there are plenty of people who never think about the Lord and don't want to think about the Lord. And in fact, this is how the unbeliever is described in the scriptures. The unbeliever, God is not in all his thoughts. That's in Psalm 10. The unbeliever does not think of the Lord. And that is a very sad thing. But what about us, we who are believers, or we who call ourselves believers in this place? How often do we think of the Lord? I just lay this challenge to you. How often do we think of the Lord? He's always thinking about us. How often do we think of the Lord? Is it only just when we come to church? Or maybe just on a Sunday? The rest of the week, you've completely forgotten about God. You haven't even thought about him just for a few minutes. Is that us? That ought not to be us, dear friends. That's why we say to people and we teach in this church, we ought to constantly be praying to the Lord. Do we pray every day? When you pray, of course, you have to think about the Lord. And that's a good thing. Pray constantly. God is thinking about us. Are we thinking of him? Do we read the word daily? Are we thinking, meditating upon the word of God? Again, this is a challenge for all of us, myself included. When we come to the word of God, we don't just read a portion and then get it over and done with. We have to think about it. Think about what is being taught to us. What are the lessons? What is God teaching us through this passage? Is God speaking to me personally? And well, very much of the time he is. There's a lesson for each and every one of us personally every time we open up the word of God. That's my belief. Do we think about these things? It would be a shameful thing if we didn't. And well, even in our daily lives, are we thinking about the Lord? Are we thinking about our obedience to the Lord? Am I living like a Christian? If people in my workplace think I'm a Christian, or people in my school know that I'm a Christian, am I actually living like a Christian? Am I thinking about God, about my witness, about my profession of faith? Do I think about that? Or is it just completely out of my mind? It's just me. All I think about is myself. Dear friends, God is always thinking about you. We should be always thinking about him, or doing our best to think about the Lord. He has thoughts toward us. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. And then we have thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of peace. Well, one way we could also interpret the word thoughts, or the meaning of that word, thoughts, is plans. You could say, for I know the plans that I think towards you. God, of course, has plans. He doesn't do things just haphazard. He doesn't make things up as he goes along. God has plans. These are his thoughts. And the thing about God's plans, just briefly to mention this, God's plans always come to pass. They're not like our plans. We make plans, and then very easily they're scuppered, they're ruined. We have to change our plans. But God, when he makes a plan, it always comes to pass. It will never be moved. Those are God's plans. Those are God's thoughts toward us. And the thoughts are of peace. That's what I was meant to be talking about. Thoughts of peace. Well, of course, the plan that we often weekly, of course, preach from this pulpit, God's plan, is the plan of salvation. That was the great plan that was conceived in the eternal mind before the foundation of the world. This is the great plan that we see in the scriptures. When we think of the thoughts of God, thoughts, plans of peace, well, we must think about the plan of salvation. that God the Father would send God the Son from heaven to earth to be our Savior, to die for us, to redeem us, to pay our sin debt by his blood, to forgive us all our sins. None of this was an accident. I hope nobody here thinks that. This was all planned. Before the foundation of the world, the gospel, Christ dying on the cross, it was all planned. The plan of salvation decreed before the foundation of the world. The plan of salvation. And of course, it's a plan of peace. A plan of peace. That's what we declare. That's what we've been taking out to the streets of East Dulwich and Forest Hill and Camberwell. We're not preaching to them oppression. We're not saying to them that if you come to Christ, you will be oppressed, you will be miserable. What are we preaching to them? This is peace. Peace with God. We're not even preaching condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ. That's what we're preaching to them. Come to the Lord, you'll be forgiven. Yes, we know there is a day of judgment. Of course, we know that. And we mention that, of course. But the day of judgment is not yet. It's not here yet. So until that time, there is a day of grace. There is a day of salvation. This is what we preach, salvation. We preach peace, peace with God. Yes, the day of judgment is coming, but it's not now. This is the time of peace. So when we think of God's thoughts of peace, it has to include the gospel, the plan of salvation. And this is what we are calling people to, not to destruction, not to misery, not to sorrow, not to condemnation, but to peace. Do you have peace with God? There are perhaps some here who don't know that peace. You must turn to the Lord. This is his desire for you, not to oppress you. His thoughts are to give you peace. And this is what we mention to those around us. But these are helpful words for believers also. Helpful words for believers. Because sometimes, in my experience and in my own personal experience, sometimes you think that the Lord doesn't mean you good. Sometimes you think the Lord means you evil. Things happen in your life, calamities, crises, troubles. And you think to yourself, what is God doing? What is God thinking? What is going through God's mind? Why are you doing this, Lord? Do you want to hurt me? Do you want to oppress me? Sometimes we think like this. We think that God's thoughts toward us are not peace. We think that somehow he wants to harm us, or maybe he's forgotten us completely. Sometimes we think like that. And you know, by the way, I said I would mention this. This is what was going on in the time of Jeremiah. The Lord's people, the kingdom of Judah, they had been besieged, and all of the people had been carried away into captivity, into a place called Babylon. They were going to be there for 70 years. And that's the Lord's people. So the Lord's people, the Jews, must have been saying to themselves, what's going on? Lord, why is this happening? What are your thoughts to us? Why are you doing this to us? They thought that God hated them. They thought that God had forgotten about them. But that was so far from the truth. You see, even when the Jews were in captivity, God's thoughts toward them were peace even then. God loved them even then. And this is a lesson that we have to learn ourselves in our daily lives. You see, there was a divine purpose in all of this. This was God's plan. We read this even in verse 4 of chapter 29. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. This was his plan. This was God's purpose. So what was the purpose? Well, for the Jews, the Lord had to discipline the Jews because they had lost their way. They They had forgotten God. It wasn't so much a case of God forgetting them. It was the Jews forgetting God because they had begun worshipping idols. They were guilty of great sins. And so God had sent them into captivity to discipline them so that they would realize the error of their ways, so that they would realize that they had done something wrong, and so that they would turn to God. And dear friends, that's exactly how it is with us. You know, we can go astray, very greatly astray, even believers. We can wander far from God. We can forget God. We can commit great sin. And what does the Lord do? The Lord sends something, a trial, something difficult. It might be a sickness. It might be a bereavement. It might be a great calamity of some kind, a time of hardship or despondency or being downcast. And why does he do that? Well, because he wants to discipline us, to bring us back to the Lord, closer than we were before. This is God's plan. This is God's thoughts toward us. It's a good purpose. He wants us closer to him. He's not thinking evil. He doesn't want to harm you. He wants to bring you closer. And that's why these trials, these difficulties come. Perhaps we have been wandering far from God, living far from God, and he sends something to bring you nearer. These are God's thoughts, thoughts of peace, not of evil. And this is a vital lesson. So the Lord disciplines us, and he disciplines us out of love. I know in the modern age, when people are disciplined, the modern world seems to think that's a hateful act. But in the Bible, it's always an act of love. When God disciplines us, it's an act of love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so this is how he was dealing with the Jews. This is how he deals with us. I hope this is helpful to people. Don't ever fall for the lie that God hates you. You know, when we get into our mind that God has forgotten us, that God hates us, that God doesn't want anything to do with us, that's always Satan speaking to us. That's not from God. It's Satan speaking to us. It's Satan. Satan is putting his thoughts into our mind. We've read about God's thoughts, Satan's thoughts. What is Satan's thoughts toward us? What are Satan's plans toward us? Satan's plan is to get us as far from God as possible. That's Satan's plan. That's his agenda. That's his scheme. I want to get into the mind of people some thoughts that will lead them far from God. And it's he who tells us, God doesn't want you. God hates you. God is not on your side. Dear friends, this is very wrong. That's the lie of Satan. The truth of God's word is that God has thoughts of peace and not of evil. God loves us. God loves his people. Even when the whole world is against us, even when the whole world hates us, and even, may I add, even when we hate ourselves. You know, sometimes, I think this is quite common amongst Christians. Sometimes when we sin against God, when we see the darkness within us, when we see all our faults, we end up hating ourselves. I think that's quite common in Christian men and women. We hate ourselves, and that's a sad thing. I'm not going to talk about that at length. That's a sad thing. But dear friends, sometimes what happens is people think, just because I hate myself, that means God hates me too. That's not true. Yes, you may hate yourself, but God always loves his people. God always loves his people. Yes, you may hate yourself, and that's very sad, but God still loves you. That will never end. And that gives us comfort. That gives us hope. His thoughts toward us are always peace and always love. So this is a great strength to us, and this is a great blessing toward us. So these things, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, let me just begin to draw to conclusion. What does this mean? To give you an expected end. Well, it's focusing on the end. The end. You know, the plans that we make for ourselves are very often short-term or relatively short-term. Some people make plans perhaps for 5 years or something, but it's only 5 years. That's not very long, really. But God's plans are long-term. They look to the very end, to the very end of our days, to the end of our lives. And in fact, well, God's plan stretches into eternity. That's God's plan. Our plans are so short-term. God's plans look to the end, the end. And again, this is what we preach. This is what we urge people to consider. And this is what I would like many here to consider, particularly the young people. How will it all end? Where will you spend eternity? Again, this is a great part of gospel preaching. Many people think they don't need the Lord in this life. Many people say to themselves, well, everything, all my plans are going well. Things are going smoothly for me. But what I say to them is, how does everything end? You have to think about the end. Where are you going? You'll only be on this world for just a few years, really, 70 odd years. How does it all end? Think about the end. That's where God's thoughts are pointing you to. You may be well now, but how does it end? And what is the end? For those who reject God, what is the expected end of those who reject God? Well, there's only one expectation. If you spend your whole life living for yourself, well, at the end of your life, as you slip into eternity, well, the expectation is very bad. It's a lost eternity. A lost eternity. And we are reminded of that so many times in Scripture. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Dear friends, this is how we have to think. Our thoughts should be like this, not just the short term, living for today, carefree, careless. How does it all end? And this is what we say to people. Where will you spend eternity? But dear friends, if you turn to the Lord, well, we have that expected end, eternal life, heaven, glorious, everlasting, peace, joy. That's what we can expect as believers. A wonderful eternity spent in the presence of the living God, whom we will know and love forever. That ultimate eternal relationship, what a wonderful blessing that will be. And well, dear friends, when we turn to the Lord, we are being prepared for heaven. That's another reason I was going to say why we have calamities, why we have difficulties in this life, because God is preparing us for heaven. Not that we will have trouble in heaven, but we need to be changed. We need to be sanctified. We need to be refined in our character, preparing us for heaven. And so the Lord sends things that change us, that bring us out of our comfort zone. This is the way the Lord deals with us. But it's a comfort to us because we know that we are heading for heaven. That's what you can expect. That's the expected end for believers and so many other things. You know, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is how I explain it to people. What can I expect if I come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I say to them, you can expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. What do I mean by that? Well, you can expect peace. But it's an unexpected peace. It's a peace you've never had before. No matter how much peace you've had in the world, you've never had this. This is unexpected. You never knew you would have it. But God has given it to you. Peace in your soul. You're changed. You're forgiven. You know you're right with God. That has changed you completely. Unexpected. unexpected to everyone around you. You have an unexpected joy. God gives you joy, and it's of an unexpected kind. You can have joy even when you have difficulties, even when you have trials. So it's a joy, but it works unexpectedly, an expected joy that works unexpectedly. Because even in difficult times, you can rejoice, and you can expect, of course, many wonderful answers to prayer, things that you never expected would happen. So that's what you can expect. You can expect those unexpected blessings and glory. And at the end, well, then there is heaven for us. That is the expected end of each and every one of us. But let me close just by saying this. When we come to the Lord exceeds our expectations. But we must, until that time, when we go to be with the Lord, we must do our very best to live up to the Lord's expectations for us. The Lord's expectations for us as believers, as a church. What are the Lord's expectations for us? Well, just very briefly, I won't even expound on them, but holy living, living a life that is clean, living a life that is separate from the world. That's God's expectations for us. And so we ought to live up to those expectations, serving the Lord. The Lord has saved us. Christ, our servant, he came to serve us. He served us in the greatest way by dying, by the giving of his life. God's expectation now for us is that we serve him. So we ought to follow in that example that the Lord has set us, praying to the Lord. I've already mentioned that, thanking the Lord. And well, you'll be blessed in an unexpected way through praying, but trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Even despite all the difficulties, even despite all the trials, all the unexpected things, we've had many unexpected things this year. But the Lord, what is the Lord's expectation for us? To crumble? To die? To lose faith? No, dear friends, to trust in the Lord. To be different to how the world would respond. To have peace. To have trust. To have joy in the Lord. And if we do that, there will be much blessing for this church in the days ahead. It might not be the blessing that we expect, but it will be great blessing. Unexpected blessings will fall upon this church if we honor the Lord and obey him. So these are just some thoughts for us this evening. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. May the Lord bless each and every one of us.